Welcome to Famous Monsters Podcast. I'm Aaron.
I'm Matt.
We're here to talk about everything, horror, sci-fi, fantasy, and all that nerdy goodness.
We are the Rocketeers. We're two roommates who haven't lived together in 10 years.
Yeah, so you may hear us call each other roomie.
We have our own podcast called The Launchpad Podcast. The Famous Monsters guys asked us to come over and host their podcast for a couple episodes. I think this is the fifth one that we've done for them.
Right.
I think, sadly, this is going to be the last one.
It's the end of a very short era.
Hopefully. Yeah. And just so you guys know, it's not like we're getting kicked out. They told us that they needed us for five. It's not like, guys, you're not cutting it. Hopefully, at least. And we would love, I mean, we don't want to invite ourselves, but we would love to come back. So if you guys had a good time, please let us know.
Yeah.
We would definitely come back. But this is really, it's been a fun time.
This has been really an honor. Like we said on the earlier, I think on the George Romero podcast, that getting to talk about some of my favorite directors and films and topics for a magazine I grew up reading.
Sure.
This is incredible. I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, we've gotten to talk about some really fun stuff on this podcast. We have a great episode today, and today's episode is brought to you by
the third annual Silver Scream Film and Comic Festival, coming up next year, February 16th through 18th in Santa Rosa. Putting that date out early so you can put it on your calendar. You don't want to miss this.
That's right. So what are we talking about today, Matt?
Today we are going to talk about monsters. We're going to talk about what we were afraid of growing up. We're going to talk about things that go bump in the night, things that have etched themselves not only in mine and your personal consciousness, really the consciousness of society, of our culture.
Absolutely.
And you know, I feel like it's a smart place to start is right here at Famous Monsters.
Right. I mean, like we said, we grew up with this magazine, and I remember when I was a kid, I used to hop on bikes with my brother, and we'd bike down to Broad Ripple, which is like the little like shopping area near us, B-Rip, and they had a comic shop there, and it was a dusty little dark basement of a comic shop, just like you would think, and you know what it smelled like inside.
I do know what it smelled like, but I didn't have creepy comic shops.
Well, it was.
I had like regular
it wasn't
people.
Creepy.
Ones.
It was just like kind of old and.
I'm imagining
dim.
That like Igor worked in there. You're like, hey, do you have a back issue of Avengers 14?
Yes, yes. This way. Leave your parents outside.
Our parents didn't even know. We backed over.
Awesome.
Step over the bodies of these other children.
But do you remember as a kid, you could just bike anywhere?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Your parents are like, try not to die. You're like, I'll do my best. And that was the understanding you had. But I'm sorry, I stepped on your story about going to this creepy comic store.
Oh, I mean, it just smelled like back issues, and you know that
sure,
smell.
Sure, man, absolutely. And it's kind of cool. I wonder, like, will people know that smell in 10 years?
Oh, no.
That's sad.
It smells like iPads in here.
But no, it's true. It does have a smell, and I know this. I know what you're talking
it's
about.
It's so good. It's just like nostalgia.
Yeah.
If you could bottle that, oh, the back issue. Could you imagine the Calvin Klein ad for the back issue perfume? It's like all these like sweaty nerds. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, first of all, the models are not going to be people you want to see. That being said, though, Calvin Klein, if you're going to make a scent like that, I would love to be in that commercial.
Inside this comic shop, they had some issues behind the counter, not even in a box, like behind the counter where they keep the special issues.
Sure.
They had an issue of Famous Monsters of Filmland 103, which was the creature from the Black Lagoon. And this is one of the most iconic, iconic issues cover-wise. It's by Basil Gogos. He did about 50 covers for Famous Monsters, but his covers and his style are just so incredible. And just seeing that creature from the Black Lagoon, I had already seen the movie, but I was just in love with that. And I wanted that issue. But at the time, I don't know how much it cost, but it was way more than my allowance was covering.
More than kids have.
Yeah. And one of the other ones they had, and this one creeped me out, was the Mr. Sardonicus cover. And I don't know if you remember this, Rumi.
No, I don't think so.
Mr. Sardonicus, I don't know the movie. I've never seen it. But the cover is a guy with an impossibly large grin, like, attached to his face. And it is, you know, it's ear to ear.
Like this?
Yes. There it is.
No, I'm looking it up right now, though. That looks incredible.
It's a great cover, again, by Basil Gogos, whose use of strange colors, like, he used...
Oh, I see it now. That was issue Number 126.
126. Yeah. It was so weird, and it stuck in my head because people's smiles shouldn't be that big. But the way Basil Gogos painted things with using a lot of purples and oranges and yellows, and it was just so cool the way he painted monsters. His version of Frankenstein is one of my all-time favorites. I don't have any tattoos, but if I were to get one, it would probably be the Basil Gogos Frankenstein.
Wait a minute. What did you do at the tattoo parlor when we each got each other's name tattooed on the shoulder?
Mine washed off with soap and water.
Actually, there's a bunch of covers that have the Creature from the Black Lagoon on it as well.
Yeah.
And while I don't have a specific concrete memory like you do of seeing this cover in real life, a lot of the, specifically the Universal monsters and some of the old classical monsters like the Lon Chaney Phantom and stuff like that,
yeah.
I didn't watch those growing up. But in my mind, the memory I have of those creatures is the Basil Gogos covers of famous monsters. So, like, that really was my introduction. And you're right, I must have seen it in, I mean, I was in 1,000 comic book stores, right?
Yeah.
1,000, like, old toy stores and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I probably have my knowledge of those creatures and stuff from growing up from Famous Monsters magazine. I wish I could tell you the first magazine I got my hands on.
Yeah.
But the first time you open it and you're like, what?
Yeah. You're reading interviews with, you know, the directors and the actors, mm-hmm. and, you know, getting to read interviews with Vincent Price and just these, all these little tidbits that just fed my imagination of just like, what do I want to see monster wise? And it's just opening up this world of fear, which was really fun.
Yeah, I agree. There was, you know, and it's funny because it's Famous Monsters of Filmland, but they use that term monsters kind of broad. There's a lot of sci-fi stuff on there too.
Yep.
Issue number 57 has this like sexy space babe getting grabbed by a tentacle monster for the green slime.
The green slime.
Yeah. And it's dude, I love it's it, that's one of the things that like I don't have time to be nerdy enough about. I would love to go into all that old sci-fi cover art
and
pulp art. Just the stuff that made these covers super memorable. There's an issue 146. It's Jaws vs. Ape. And while I don't think it was talking about a movie that actually was made, the cover shows a shark about to like eat a person, right? And it looks like a giant gorilla is like grabbing the shark from behind, kind of. It's awesome. And it's like, I love that kind of stuff. And that kind of cover, that kind of art is right up my alley.
Yeah, I just pulled this up, and like this must have been right in the throes of Star Wars, where it's like there's a Star Wars contest. Christopher Lee talks about Star Wars, so much Star Wars, and then this King Kong wrestling Jaws.
Yeah, which I would watch in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
There's another one. There's a cover in an earlier issue for Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, and that was a movie, and it is a really cool cover of the two of them about to have a fight. It's just awesome.
I love the verses. Covers. I would love.
Yeah.
I love the versus concept. I love the versus movies. None of them are particularly good.
Right.
But anytime you have like a boss battle as the premise mm-hmm. of your movie, I'm in. I'm so in. I'm so down. But I guess this is a great way to jump into it. I started out on the Universal Monsters. My introduction to all horror, my parents got me the original Frankenstein Universal Monsters on VHS. And it scared me, but it thrilled me because the makeup was so cool.
Yeah.
The face was so cool. And as I told you in the Halloween episode, I had this Frankenstein costume that I would dress up as when I was really little. But growing up, it was Universal Monsters. I had the entire collection on VHS from Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, The Wolfman, The Mummy. Oh, man, I loved The Mummy. The Invisible Man. I was obsessed with the Universal Monsters.
See, that's interesting because, and you and I had very different backgrounds. I think we arrived at a very similar place, but we took way different routes to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I was always into monsters. I was always into horror, but I didn't realize how much I was into it, like how disproportionate to other genres and other types of things until much later. So the Universal Monsters in those classic films, I didn't get into until much later, like high school, some of them even college.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I don't think I saw Invisible Man until college. And when I watched it, I was like, whoa, that's what this is about? Because it's actually really heavy when you watch, like, The Invisible Man.
And The Invisible Man blows up a train.
Right. And that's the thing. And you're like, that's what this is about? Like,
yeah.
I think because it's older and it's a more traditional classic storytelling. You assume it's going to be an old thing. But I don't think you realize that, like, murder and mayhem and horror, fear, have been in our consciousness as a civilization and as storytellers literally from the get-go, you know?
I just ate up all the Universal Monster stuff. I mean, in the first Frankenstein, the James Whale Frankenstein, Frankenstein finds a little girl and they start throwing flowers in.
Yeah.
Like, this is a really sweet moment. He befriends the little girl, but then they run out of flowers and he's like, well, I'll just toss her in. He throws the little girl in and she drowns and dies.
Right.
And it's scary. It scared the shit out of me.
Could you have, think of a movie, okay, that has a more innocent victim than a girl who befriends Frankenstein without judgment, right? Like, and she dies. Think of a movie more brutal than that. That's, you know what I mean?
And it's not, you know, nowadays if you did it, it'd be really gnarly, but it was just so simple.
Sure.
And one of the even the more tragic things is Frankenstein's like, whoops, I didn't mean to do that.
Right.
I just thought we were having fun. Like, he doesn't even get it that would be a bad thing.
Right.
And it just shows you how tragic it is for both of them. Like, mm-hmm. It's so gnarly.
Yeah, those movies really, really are great. And they kind of establish the tradition for movie monsters, right?
Yeah.
Which becomes a huge thing. It's obviously a huge subgenre of horror and a huge part of, you know, film, right? But I guess what I'm really interested, since you and I thought of this topic, was I want to hear, growing up, what monsters scared you? Not what monsters you admired, not what got you into, you know, the business per se, but what scared you, dude?
Well, Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah?
That came up.
The original.
Got that first VHS, and when they killed the main character, man, I was like, nothing's safe. Nothing is safe. And it's like, you could get through everything, all that hardship, all that surviving a night, and then doesn't matter, you're still dead. And I just remember watching that, and it ended, and I was just standing in my basement. I was standing when it ended.
I was too. I remember it.
Because when you get so scared, you just stand up because you're like, do I need to move fast? Do I need to be ready to run?
Fight or flight.
Oh my gosh. And I remember the end. Night of the Living Dead was scary to begin with. Scary as hell. But the ending, which isn't even a monster moment, he just gets shot. Mistaken identity gets shot. That changed me. I'd never seen a movie that had an unhappy ending. I had never seen a movie that killed its protagonist. And that left a mark on me.
Hmm.
But it didn't make me scared of zombies.
Yeah, that's going to be my next question, was like, did the monsters scare you?
It made me scared that no matter what you did, it might not matter. Even if you try
accidentally murdered.
right? But that definitely scared me. But in a way that I couldn't put a finger. I couldn't be like, zombies, Frankenstein. It was injustice. Like, those guys straight up killed that guy. You know, a much bigger picture that, like, the 6 or 7 year old me couldn't put a label on, but it was still the scariest thing I had ever seen.
Sure, I get that.
What about you?
Well, it's hard. I was really trying to think about movies and creatures that I was scared of as a kid, and I didn't have a lot of nightmares, at least not that I remember, and certainly nothing like recurring. Like, I've never had the same dream twice. Like, I know a lot of people have either happy or sad dreams or scary dreams more than once. I don't have that. As a kid, I was scared of this or this or this, but like for a hot minute. I was never like afraid of something. But I probably remember most of the times that I was afraid. I was at my grandma's house. Mm-hmm. My dad is one of eight, so we were there with his whole family. And Uncle Brendan and Uncle Mike, who were the tricksters of the Corrigan family.
They were the tricksters?
Yes, because my dad is a little straight-laced for tricks. Those guys would, like, literally, they took my Teddy Ruxpin once and recorded a whole, like, possessed message, kill your parents, Matthew. And then when I played my Teddy Ruxpin, my mom would walk by and hear that. They would put me on the floor and turn my playpen upside down over me like a cage. That was Uncle Michael and Uncle Brendan. Uncle Michael's my godfather, by the way. But at grandma's one time, and I was old enough to remember this, they were playing the movie Basket Case. You know Basket Case?
Oh, yeah. Belial?
One of the terrible, like the most terrible shitty movies I can think of.
It's super low budget.
It's incredible, but I remember watching it and being freaking petrified. And true to Uncle Brendan and Uncle Michael, I would go crying to Grandma. Grandma would make them turn it off. They would come back in. Okay, here, we'll put this on. Grandma would leave the room. Click, right back to Belial. Grabbing people, choking people. And I was so freaked out. We lived probably like 20 minutes away from my grandma. And I remember, I actually have the memory of people trying to talk me down. Matt, it's all fake. That's just a puppet. Bullshit. I did not care. They were saying, that's not real blood. That's just ketchup. Bullshit. I did not care. And I, to this day, have the memory of what I was afraid of. I was afraid that we were going to pull into my driveway, and my parents had we had a stoop on the front door, and there was a light over that, one single light over that. And in my mind, I was 100% sure that Belial was going to be sitting on my stoop under that one light. I can see it to this day, and it is petrifying because it's lit well.
Oh my gosh. He'd just be sitting there. And like, they always say, it's just ketchup.
80R. The movie's so terrible. If you haven't checked out Basket Case.
I don't know if it's terrible or just low budget. Like, it suffers from such a low budget, but is it terrible?
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's awesome and it's beautiful in its terribleness, but it is terrible. The puppet is a puppet, and it looks like a puppet, and that's not to shit on anybody else's stuff. It's effective for what it is, and like you said, it's low budget, and it was a different time. It was late 70s, early 80s, but there's a stop motion sequence where he smashes the room.
Yeah.
Dude, I've made better stop motion sequences than that with literally no money in Star Wars figures.
No, I love it. I dig that movie. I know it's terrible, but there's a charm about it that I enjoy.
Agreed now, but as a kid, woo! Ooh.
But they always say, like, oh, it's just ketchup. Well, then my question, if I was a kid me is like, why is ketchup coming out of those people? What is up with these French fry people? What is going on here?
Well, see, I always knew, and I feel like as a kid, I always could differentiate between television and movies in real life. I knew that there were no aliens, theoretically, in real life. I knew that there was no real Belial. I knew that there was no real monsters.
Right.
But that didn't make it any less scary, like, at nighttime when you were going to bed and stuff. And I knew that movies were movies. Like, I knew that Basket Case was not a documentary.
Right.
I knew that that was fabricated. I knew that that was a puppet. It didn't make it any less scary sometimes, but I could draw that line. So, like, when someone said ketchup, I was like, I know, but I'm also four.
It doesn't, it doesn't matter. I saw it. You still showed it to me. I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of modern horror growing up.
Right.
The funny thing is, though, I could read whatever I wanted. Like, when I went to the library, it was free rein. Go get whatever you want. As long as you're reading, we're stoked. Mm-hmm. And I devoured books. But I was reading, like, Jurassic Park in, like, fourth grade.
Right.
You know, I was reading all the Jules Verne stuff. And then I started getting into horror. And I started reading Stephen King. Man, when I read It... I mean, I read it in probably like eighth grade, and that's a book. It's a huge book.
Sure, it's over.
But that book
pages has
some really mature moments in it, and I remember being so freaked out, I closed the book and set it aside, and like not touch it.
And
for
then the
weeks.
Book flipped open, and you saw the picture of your dead blood brother, and started to bleed. That's actually the part in the movie, the miniseries, the original. My dad was watching on TV, and I remember doing this too. I remember walking in. When Bill is flipping through it, he sees Georgie's picture, throws it on the picture moves. He throws it on the floor, and it winks at him, and blood drips out of it. I remember running into the other room and turning the vacuum cleaner on because I was like, nope, I want to be as far removed from this movie as I can be.
And see, I never saw that. I never saw the miniseries until well into college. I didn't see it until college.
Yeah.
And you see it in college, and you're like, eh.
When do you think you read the book?
Eighth grade.
Okay, yeah. So I started reading King in... probably in elementary school, like literally fifth grade is probably when I started reading it. I think I read It later, though, too. Probably high school. Probably around eighth, ninth grade is when I read It for the first time.
I read Jaws in fifth grade.
we've talked about this.
Was pretty surprised to find out it's about a shark, but not about a shark.
What's it about?
Male insecurities and some... some pretty adult stuff happening there.
It's also because we, on our podcast, we interviewed Carl Gottlieb, who was the screenwriter of the first three Jaws movies.
Yeah.
And while we were prepping for that, Rumi was like real excited to tell me how much of this novel was not about sharks. Which is funny because you clearly read that at like a formative stage and it's like in your head now, like Sex and Affairs and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like,
that was the
book. I love Jaws.
That was the book you brought to school and you're like, yeah, turn to page 98. It's like, whoa. And the teachers would be like, wow, look at all these kids reading about sharks. That's great. But when you brought the, because you read the book before we talked to Carl,
right?
You brought the book over, and I knew exactly what page to flip to. I was
he
like,
did.
Check this
he did.
Out.
Watch
like,
this. Yeah. And then because I'm 35, I was like, yeah, I've read about a sex scene before. It's pretty a low core too. It's not.
Yeah, it's not even.
Jaws is a funny one because I love that movie.
Yeah,
and that movie is kind of terrifying in that it takes something that is very normal and especially great for a kid going to the beach, and you know, turns it on its ear by having these people get chomped and kids get killed in that movie. And
gnarly.
It's
dude, when they find that boat with the head in it and the eyeball pops out.
Oh,
woo.
Yeah. I got two cool things about that is we used to go to, I used to live in Long Island.
Yeah.
And we used to go to Montauk at the tip of the island every once in a while for vacation. And we were going once and there were shark attacks. And I don't remember if there were shark attacks there or just in general. But I remember literally loading up the car and the news was on and telling my mom, I'm not going in the water. And she's like, okay, but, you know, the sharks are not going to be there. I was like, nope, I'm not going in the water. And I was very much that kind of kid. When I thought something, I was like, you can't convince me. I'm watching the news,
yeah.
And they're saying that people were attacked. And my mom was like, but that's a different place. And I was like, nope, when we get there, I'm not going.
What do you know? You say ketchup comes out of people.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
It's blood.
Yeah, remember that Belial incident? we got to the beach. Like, we went to Montauk. We got to the beach. Everyone was – I watched about 4 minutes of people playing the beach. I was like, I'll take my chances. I also watched Jaws, and this is one of my favorite memories. Like, you have memories that are just yours. Like, no one else was there.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily, like, have anything to do anything. My grandparents were babysitting us once, and our basement was, like, our play area. My dad, like, half-finished it, and it was our play area. But it was cold down there, so my sister didn't go down. It was just me. I was down there once during a hurricane-level storm. I was watching Jaws, the original Jaws, on TV.
Had
on
you seen it before?
Oh, yeah, yeah, hundreds of times. I loved, especially the first two, but I'd seen the whole series 1,000 times. But it was the first one. I distinctly remember it, and I remember watching water come in through the basement window. And by the end of that flood, we had probably 2 or 3 inches of water. The basement had flooded.
Did you just watch the water come in? You didn't go get your parents or
no,
anything?
No, no. Like, my grandparents were there, but they were like old people, and they were like, what the hell are we going to do? We're old.
Yeah.
But like, they didn't. Maybe they tried to put towels there or whatever, but it was too much to stop.
Yeah.
There was no way to staunch the flooding.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting on the couch there, watching the water rise in my basement while watching Jaws and being like, I know there's no way a shark's going to get in this basement, but this is still pretty cool.
Yeah,
like, you know,
that's awesome.
It was kind of like a 4D effect almost.
That's pretty great.
Now, if I could just have some idiot in a boat going, you boys okay over there? You okay?
That's great. Oh, man, that's pretty cool. So when I was a kid, I was a Boy Scout, and they had these overnights at the Children's Museum where you could get locked in with it was like a big youth thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there were like hundreds of kids there, and they just let you run around the museum all night long. You could go look. You could go sit and look at the mummy as much as you wanted. You could go like you could do whatever you wanted. And at the end of
I like during nights that were not the lock-in, there was like a security guard who'd come over to you and be like, excuse me, sir, you looked at that mummy long enough.
Yeah, no, because they'd chew you along. You had to wait in line.
Excuse me, sir, this isn't lock-in night. I think you've looked at enough of that mummy.
Oh, it was awesome. But at the lock-in, they would play Raiders of the Lost Ark.
What an awesome museum, right?
It was so cool. But I had never seen it the first time I did this. And my parents were like trying to do that prep thing. They're like, well, they're going to play this movie. And there's a really scary part. They were trying to prep me for it because they thought I was like going to be scared.
For the face melting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What they did not expect is the face melting happens and I'm like, this is awesome. How did I not see this movie? How did you not let me see this before? Show me. Are there more movies like this? What else is happening? What else haven't you shown me? What have you been holding out on me? There's other movies like this where people's faces melt. And I think that was the first time that they're like, okay, he can handle that. Because I think my parents I don't think I gave them any indication, but I was the first child. So they were like,
sure.
Oh, kids are scared of stuff. And they didn't want me seeing. I wasn't allowed to watch Freddy. I wasn't allowed to watch anything rated R. So I didn't see a lot of horror other than the Universal Monsters.
Go read this book about a middle-aged affair.
If it wasn't black and white, I didn't see it.
Okay.
So I think Raiders of the Lost Ark was the first time I saw something truly horrifying as like a face melting.
Oh, interesting.
And then was like, this is awesome. not only that, but the effects. I was way into like makeup and like doing, because of Frankenstein, doing like fun makeup and painting my face and scar wax and liquid latex and toilet paper, making monsters. And once I saw that, that coupled with Star Wars, it was just like, well, let's make these.
See, I had like the opposite, where my parents pretty much, especially as a kid, let me watch anything. If we went to the video rental place and I was like, I want to rent that, I remember renting the first couple Friday the 13th movies, and my parents like, sure, like, yes. They knew that I was, I guess, they knew that I was mature enough and I understood the difference and stuff.
No, no, no. They just didn't care.
That's two quiet hours for us if we plug this idiot into this. But they, yeah, they let us watch whatever, and like, I think that that helped formulate all the stuff that I like. You know what I liked a lot as a kid? Critters. Remember Critters?
Oh, yeah. Critters
loved
is great.
Loved that series.
I saw it just this last year, though. For the first time, I saw Critters last year.
Yeah. The first one?
First one. Loved it.
First one's great. Second one's a great sequel to it. Third one's stupid. Fourth one's like, oh, God. But yeah, still awesome. But I grew up watching the first two over and over again.
Yeah.
And I remember loving that. I remember understanding that it was fiction. I was always petrified that that one of those spaceships was going to land on my front lawn. I knew it wouldn't, but like that was my fear. And I remember like hearing noises outside and being concerned that that's what it was.
That's what would trigger you.
Yeah, like, I figured it was. I figured I was fine and I probably was cool, but like I was still worried about it a little bit. Not worried enough to stop watching the movies for sure.
Oh, because they were great.
I was like, bounty hunters will take care of that shit.
Space bounty hunters.
Yeah, they'll come down, decrite the area, no problem.
Mushy faces turn into little glow lamp faces.
And this, dude, the second one, have you seen the second one?
Yeah.
The second one, there's a playmate as one of the bounty hunters.
The second one's good, but cheesy. Really cheesy.
Yes.
They cheesed it up. But the first one wasn't that cheesy.
Why are you saying that with that look on your face?
Because it was too cheesy. But I like it.
No!
It was pretty cheesy.
Kill Kreitz. No, yeah. It was awesome.
I'd give it a second chance, for sure.
The second one has a critter jumps through a guy's Easter Bunny costume fly.
Yeah, and eats holes in him. And then they find the Easter Bunny with all these holes ripped
into
him. That's pretty cool. It definitely, it's definitely solid. It's just a little bit cheesier than I like my horror, especially a sequel to a movie that wasn't as cheesy in the first one.
Fair enough.
The thing is, if they were all that cheesy, I'd be like, this is fun. I'm into it. But when you switch it up on me, I guess I get a little...
I wonder if Gremlins influenced it. Like, maybe the first one came out first, and then Gremlins. They were maybe. Like, we should make this a little funnier.
Gremlins was another one. Like, I always thought that was going to be way scarier than it was. And you're like, oh, this is just kind of cheesy and fun.
First one's more scary than you think it is when you think about it.
I suppose, but the scariest thing about it is like somebody's like, my dad's dead, and he was Santa Claus. And you're like, whoa!
Yes, that is the scariest part.
And she just says it, like just kind of throws it out there. It's like, it's scarier than any of the Gremlins.
Yeah, and like, that's true.
Gizmo was awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome, but a dick.
Yeah, he was a jerk.
Started all that stuff. Are there any other creatures that, like specifically a monster or a creature or like a something that scared you specifically?
I remember once I got the bug, I was obsessed with watching horror movies. I wanted to always, I wanted to rent all this stuff, and they're like, no, no, no. And I finally convinced them, I'm old enough. I want to see a rated R movie. And they're like, okay, fine. And they let me pick it, and I went straight to the one that I knew was the scariest. I went for The Exorcist.
Oh. How old are you, do you think?
13.
Ooh, okay.
13, I have spent 8 years at Catholic school at this point.
So you knew that crucifixes should not be used in that manner.
Oh, yeah. That movie is banana scary.
Sure.
Just bonkers. And my family, we have a tough time sleeping as it is. We have a history of talking in our sleep, yelling in our sleep, not sleepwalking, but like very restless sleeping.
Okay.
And that night, my mom had trouble sleeping and was like talking in her sleep loud enough that I could hear her.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared me even worse. I didn't sleep a wink that night. I had the covers up over my head, just shivering and shaking, just scared out of my mind. And the thing is, if you told your parents that, they'd be like, well, that's it. No more movies for you. But I loved it. I was obsessed with that movie. The Exorcist was the scariest, craziest thing I had ever seen. And still to this day, that movie is gnarly.
Agreed. That was a movie that I didn't see until a little bit later. I bet you I was in middle school. Uncle Michael came over. Uncle Michael lived down the street from us for part of my childhood. But it was, I don't know where the girls were, but it was just me, him, and my dad. And it was like a thing. My dad always let me watch whatever I wanted, but he was like, oh, well, watch this movie. It's super scary.
Yeah.
And I remember it messed me up.
So scary.
On the surface, I guess you can accept exorcism in the same realm of possibility as like aliens or demons or like other supernatural phenomena. Like, I'm open-minded enough to think like it could happen.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I knew at that point that exorcists was theoretically based on a true story or two.
Yeah.
But like, you're like, this could happen. And I probably was, like you said, your age, 13, you kind of understand that the horror is not necessarily limited to the demon messing with Reagan. It was destroying her family. Aside from physically hurting and killing the people around her, her mom was destroyed by that. You know what I mean? It was messing up Demi's faith, you know?
Well,
why you do this to me, Demi?
Oh, my gosh. I know how upset my mom would get. Like when
you got possessed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like I'd get a bee sting and she'd be like, oh, no. You know, I would like sprain my arm or something. And they'd be like, oh, no. And like she'd be upset. Imagine if I got possessed.
That's dude. And, you know, my mom was the exact opposite. My mom was a nurse, and I have a distinct memory of her using forceps to pull my tongue out of my mouth so a doctor could stitch it when I bit through it. She was gnarly. My mom was like Nurse Ratchet, was just like, nope, here, duct tape that up. Nope, you're fine. I can only imagine how my mom would handle me vomiting up green goo everywhere and my head turning 360 degrees. I'm sure she would just be like, get that off the carpet.
You're cleaning this up. But if your fever goes down, you're going back to school.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Can you imagine like getting sent to school as a demon because your parents don't believe you? They're just like, no, get back to school. You're fine. And you're just like, blah, and they're like,
I don't have a fever.
Can you answer what the capital of Delaware is? She's in here with us.
Reagan is a great creature, a great monster. Reagan is a monster. Like, possessed Reagan is
Pazuzu,
a monster.
Pazuzu, yeah, demon. I think that's like the pinnacle of terror for me. That was the most scared I've ever been.
That's top three or four horror movies for me, for sure, I think. And I think she's an effective monster also because there's a malevolent force in her.
Yeah.
But it's corrupting a child, which is almost
so
like a twofer.
Gnarly,
you know what I mean? Like, a werewolf is a werewolf. Pretty scary. But when you have a demon that has infested a child, that's screwing up the person it's scaring as well as the person it's inside, you know?
I mean, that destruction of innocence is always a horrible thing. Like, any time that is part of it, it's always like...
Did you read the book?
Yes.
The book is awesome, and the book, the exorcism takes days and days.
Long time.
And at the end, when the priests look like they're starting to make headway, like they're starting to win, the devil just tries to make it as difficult for the girl as possible. So he has her, like, heartbeat and everything is elevated and then low. So he's, like, literally trying to burn her body out just to kill her, which I think is, like, how evil is that? That's the definition of evil, right?
So gnarly.
What a great monster.
And after The Exorcist, it was just all the hits. I was doing... But not like the 80s hits. It was The Exorcist, The Omen.
Oh, yeah.
Like all those you know, higher level ones that aren't just like slashers. Like my parents were not into slasher movies, but I was watching those. And The Omen scared me really bad. Not because of Devil Kid. He was creepy. But there's a scene where Gregory Peck is in a graveyard and the jackals attack him, the dogs attack him. That scared the hell out of me because me and dogs were not friends. I did not have a dog growing up. It wasn't until later that I got a dog, but dogs at that time kind of freaked me out. I was always getting chased by dogs. Everybody was always giving me this like...
I was always getting chased by dogs.
I kid you not. I don't know how many times I've heard... I don't know how many times I've heard, my dog's never done that before. Well, it's like ripping me apart. For some reason, like it just stopped later.
Are you delicious?
I think it's just because I just didn't really like dogs that there was like, hey.
Dogs do know that.
Yeah, this guy seems like he wants to play.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, The Omen is great. I like The Omen. You're right. It's not because of the Devil Kid. It's all the other stuff.
Yeah.
The most effective scene in the movie. I probably didn't see that one until a lot later, but the Devil Kid is awesome. He's a great quote-unquote monster.
Yeah.
But I love at the end, he kind of plays it both ways, that kid, or they direct him both ways, where he's not out and out evil.
No.
But he's also not like an innocent kid the whole time. There are times where he seems innocent, and there's times where he seems like he knows that he's the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And there's times where he does not seem like he knows, he just is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
But at the end, when Gregory Peck has to stab him in that church, right. And he's, no, Daddy, no! I was like, oh my God,
that's scary.
Heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, it's scary as hell. And I do like how you describe that. Like, sometimes he's just a little kid, he's having a fun time. And then sometimes he's like, evil stuff's happening, and he just has this look on his face like,
exactly.
This is kind of fun.
Exactly.
And then sometimes he's like, what's up, I'm the devil.
Right. And I feel like that's, directorially, that was a smart way to play that.
Really
and
cool.
And he was an amazing kid for that part. He played that part well.
And the beginning opens, so it's all for you, Damien. You're like, whoa, happy birthday.
Awesome.
Who wants cake? Dude, all the Latin soundtracks for those movies, Exorcist and Omen, they love their Latin.
When my sister was pregnant, I would call her and just leave her voicemails of those songs. No joke. And not once, not twice. Like, I did it a lot.
Another book that I read that is a movie, I was way into Ray Bradbury.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And I read Something Wicked This Way Comes, which is weird because it's one of Ray Bradbury's least Bradbury books.
Mm-hmm.
Try to say that 10 times fast.
Beep, boot, boot, bada, boot.
Because he usually does like sci-fi stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And this was more of a horror one. And it's a circus comes to town and it does kind of a Needful Things where it gives you what you want, but there's a price to pay. And Disney made a movie of this. Have you ever seen the Disney movie? Something Wicked This Way Comes?
No, I know of it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, dude. It's really good, and it is really scary. And it's about two kids who they kind of discover that this circus is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And when they find it out, the ringleader of the circus starts stalking them and hunting them. And he'll go into town and be like, have you seen these boys? And he opens his hands, and he has their faces tattooed on his hands.
Oh, snap.
Super
creepy.
This
is like, what, in the 80s?
I mean, it came out in 1983.
Okay.
And it has Jason Robards in it, who's, I mean, super recognizable. But there's a scene with Jason Robards and the devil guy and the kids. They're hiding in the library, and the devil has come, and he's like, where are the kids? And Jason Robards, who's one of the children's fathers, but he's an older father, is like, I don't know where they are. They're hiding. They're hiding up in the stacks above them. It's like has a balcony.
Okay.
And they're hiding and they're looking down. And they see this happen. And the devil bad guy picks up this book and he tells him, he's like, every page I rip out, I'm taking away a year of your life. Where's your son? He rips out a page and he feels, he's like, ah. And he starts describing like all the years as he gets older that he won't have with his son. He's like, every page, he keeps ripping out pages. And he's like, at 65, you have your first heart attack. And he rips out a page. And the guy feels it, like feels the heart attack.
And the kids are watching this whole thing?
The kids are watching. And he rips out a page. And he's like, now you won't be able to see your grandchildren. Now you won't be able to see your son get married. And he just keeps ripping out pages. And every page he rips out is a year off this guy's life. And it is so gnarly. And thinking about that and thinking about witnessing that and the kid can't say anything and he wants to and his dad like sticking up for his son. And I think he ends up getting a heart attack over it. Like he ends up getting really messed up. And then at the end of that, they get on this merry-go-round that if you turn it backwards, it turns you into a child. And if you run it forwards, you get old. And they put the devil on it, and they crank it up all the way, and it gets broken, and the devil turns into the skeleton. It's kind of a Last Crusade scene where like the guy just turns into a skeleton and disintegrates, and it was really creepy. And that book scared me, but that movie had like a place for me that was just like, this is creepy.
The dad couldn't just like tape the pages back in. You know, like he'd still get those years back, they just wouldn't match up exactly.
And the book would never close right again.
Yeah, but he'd still be okay.
No, everybody should see that movie. I think it's really underrated, and Disney too, like super creepy.
It's one
Disney.
Of those movies I've seen the cover of 100 times, and I know what you're talking about, but I've never seen it. I've never actually seen the movie before.
Oh, it's really good and very well done, and just in that, like, Disney had an era of live action films. It's like Watcher in the Woods, which was aliens, like creepy aliens.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Something Wicked This Way Comes, and like, what is it, Black Cauldron?
Yep.
Just a lot of movies of that era that were just like for kids, but scary, like meant to scare them.
What about, and going back a half a second to movies that we haven't seen but know about, I feel like this is a common thing with kids. There's a ton of movies that I hadn't seen as a kid, mm-hmm. but was still super freaking scared of. I would love to hear if you have. I have a couple loaded, but tell me what you think. There's a bunch of movies that I had not seen at all. Probably saw like a trailer for or something.
Oh,
but or even the box art. I could tell you right now if I could take you to. I don't remember what the name of it was, but it was a yellow sign with red writing video store right next to our grocery store. I could show you all the covers that scared the shit out of me.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah, I had never seen Dolls until much, much later. But
oh,
like,
yeah.
The cover of the little girl doll holding her eyes out to you,
yeah,
that was scary.
Mm-hmm.
The Chucky covers were scary when he's cutting off the clown Jack in the Box head with scissors.
Sorry, Jack. Chucky's back. That's Child's Play 2.
Child's Play 2. I mean, that cover scared me, and I didn't see it till years later.
Same with me. I didn't even see pieces of Chucky until much later, but I feel like that's the one that everyone... First of all, Chucky was a well-known thing. He was part of pop culture. I remember seeing some TV ads for the first movie. There's a scene where he looks in a car. There's a car upside down. He looks through the window and then ducks away.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that trailer and flipping out. I was so scared of that. Dolls is another good one, too. I wonder if, as a kid, Puppet Master I was afraid of, and I never saw it yet.
Yeah.
But I just would see the cover art or whatever, or trailer.
Covers in the video store were meant to draw you in enough to freak you out.
Good job, marketing. I wonder, like, but it's interesting. Like, I wonder.
Like Shocker? Remember Shocker?
Yes, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like,
that was a creepy. Yeah, that was a creepy cover.
I wonder, like. Is that, I guess most kids haven't seen those things, but I guess also there's an imagination thing, and if you made the cover well, the kid's imagination will run wild.
Oh, man, yeah. Company of Wolves was a cover that always scared
me.
The wolf coming out of the guy's mouth.
Yes.
And then you finally watch it, and you're like, this movie is weird.
Yeah.
This movie hates unibrows. When you were a kid, did you watch any Midnight Horror Host shows like Elvira or anything like that?
No, there was, what's his name? Joe Bob Briggs. He did stuff on USA. Like you said, he really just like introduced the movie and stuff.
Yeah.
He was like this redneck guy on, I think it was USA.
Did he have a scary gimmick or anything?
No, not that I remember.
Growing up, I watched Zachary Shaw. He's a really famous like late night horror guy, and I had like VHSs of him doing trailers and like excerpts from movies. And I had this one called Horrible Horror with Zachary Shaw, and I loved it. I watched this thing so many times because it was just like clips of weird horror movies, but they were like the best parts and weird parts and trailers, and it had like, you know, Brainiac and Them and Night of the Lepus. But there was one that scared me really bad. And it was Curse of the Spider Baby.
Oh.
Do you know this movie?
Yeah.
And it's like this house, this guy is like taking care of this family, and the girl's a killer, and one of the people that he's adopted is like a weird idiot man child. And there's a scene where this guy, this like milkman or a mailman, comes to the house, and he's like, hello, anybody home? Hello. And he sticks his head in the window, and the window slams shut, trapping him. There, he's stuck.
Yeah.
And this girl comes in, she's like, the spider's caught a fly. Spider's caught. And the guy's like, leave me alone. And she throws like a net over him, and she's like, now you're caught in my web. And she brings out these two giant knives, and she's like, and the spider eats the fly. And she starts stabbing this guy, and they show an ear fall on the floor. And I remember, like, I was just like,
I'm out.
And it was so creepy, because again, little kid killing people is just freaky as hell.
That's funny. I saw that movie in college. Right when I got it, started getting into special effects, there was a film festival that a buddy of mine took us to, and we went to that. I remember that movie. I remember being like, what?
Yeah, it's super, it's crazy for that era, too. It's pretty gnarly.
You know what, actually, a movie I was really afraid of? The cover of Clockwork Orange. Because the one I saw had Alex in his Droog costume.
Yeah.
And he had the splat eyeball cufflink,
yeah,
and the knife, and I was like, I'm out. I don't know what that's about, but it's scaring the shit out of me.
I mean, and I think this one of the things that I miss most about movies nowadays. Nowadays, you just flick through and it's like a little thumbnail. And it's not even like in an aspect ratio that would fit like an old movie. Like, you know, and it's like walking down the horror aisle and seeing all these crazy,
yeah,
like gnarly images that you're just like, what is that about? That looks scary. What's that? Oh, I want to see that. You don't get that as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the presence that going to a blockbuster had.
Sure, I agree with that. And there was such a cool thing about window shopping for that, because most of those movies, especially as a kid, you didn't know anything about. There was no social media about it. There was no huge marketing for it. You know what I mean? Some of those movies were in theaters and stuff, but how would you ever have seen them?
Well, and the funny thing about them is they would tell you on there, like, too scary for theaters.
Sure.
You know, and they always wanted to let you know, like, how freaky it was going to be.
I eventually bought Silent Night, Deadly Night VHS.
Yeah.
Because on the front, it was hailed as the movie they didn't want you to see. And it was the and they were in capital. And I was like, wait, they didn't want me to see this? Well, now I gotta see it.
And I guess we can get into this a little bit. Like, I remember Slugs had a cover that was super scary. It's like this guy's face,
sure,
and like the slugs,
oh,
like,
yeah,
eating,
yeah,
up,
that's right,
half his skull.
So you could see the backside of his skull was exposed. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
There were so many shitty ones, like Jack Frost, when you walk past it, he would turn into a scary snowman. It had like the lenticulated cover.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Popcorn was a cover.
Popcorn was a good one. I remember Popcorn. The girl, that's a skeleton holding a girl face.
Yeah, like he's holding like a little mask, but it's a girl. What other good covers are there?
Oh, I got a good one. And it's actually a movie that, talk about a movie you haven't seen. I didn't see it until literally last week. It's a movie called Curtains. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, it's Killer Draperies.
Yeah, it's about an evil window. No, it's a movie about, I guess, like this old actor and actress, blah, 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 murdering, blah, blah, blah. But the murderer in this movie wears an old lady mask at certain points. So the cover is a very extreme close-up on the mask with the eyes at the top, the nose towards the top, and then the mouth in the middle with, like, saggy cheeks on the side.
Yeah.
And a creepy little girl doll standing in the middle of it.
Yeah.
The creepy little girl doll plays a part in the horror as well.
Wait.
Really creepy.
Wait, 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 wait. I literally thought this was a movie about, like, Killer Draperies.
No, I thought that was a dad joke you were making.
Well, because I've seen movies about killer beds and killer beaches. I just thought this was another in a series of, like,
killer elevators.
Right. Killer elevators. I just thought this was, I guess I have not seen this movie. I'm thinking of a different movie.
It's like a prom night type of movie,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, people getting killed. People in one circle are getting killed, and, you know, it's very heavily pointing at one person who you may or may not believe it is.
Was it good?
It wasn't bad, but, like, clearly you can see why we haven't heard of it.
Okay.
You know, it's not as mainstream in the public conscious, but that cover is certainly something that I remember seeing.
Yeah.
Curtains.
A cover that I remember seeing, I mean, like, why is this in the horror aisle? Do you remember Terror Train? Terror Train had a cover.
What did the cover look like?
The cover has a guy wearing a mask that could either be described as Groucho Marx or Gene Shalit, the movie reviewer, with a knife.
Yes! Yes, I do remember that.
And you're like, why is Groucho Marx scary? I'm not scared of this at all. But that movie's actually pretty good. I finally saw that recently, and I'm like, I'm into it. I'm into this movie.
That's awesome.
Killer Gene Shalit.
Yeah, I remember walking through those, you know, I remember walking through video stores and being creeped out by covers, but I was like a super brave kid, I have to say. You know, as brave as I am as an adult, you could see that I got my start as a kid. I don't think I was afraid of that much, except Belial.
that ketchup blood.
That I was afraid of. That ketchup made me make mustard in my pants.
Well, Matt, I think that's been our time for Famous Monsters.
Yeah, this has been fun. George, Phil, guys at Famous Monsters, thank you so much for letting us hang out and play over here.
Yeah, we can't wait to have you guys on our podcast. Everybody out there, please check out Famous Monsters on their Facebook at FMOFL. And you can check them out on Instagram and Twitter at Famous Monsters. And check out their YouTube page. They have a series called Famous Monsters TV where they have interviews with a lot of directors and creators and people who and actors in horror movies. And it's pretty cool. You can check that out on YouTube at Famous Monsters as well. And if you want to hear more of us, you can check us out at launchpadpod.com. And you can check us out on Instagram and Twitter at LaunchpadPod and on Facebook at LaunchpadPod. Until next time, Rocketeers out.